Well, hello, everybody. The Young Wild Financially Free podcast is provided by none other than Anchor. What is Anchor, you ask? Well, thanks for asking. It is a super easy, super convenient way to record, edit, and publish your own podcast. Whenever we first started this podcast, we had a lot of friends, a lot of family saying, hey, how do you do that? And before we even started, I thought of people like Tim Ferriss or Gary Vee or Joe Rogan, and I thought, those are bigwigs. I'll never be able to do something like that. Well, the answer is that yes, I could, and I did, with all the help of Anchor. Anchor is a super easy and convenient way to, like I said, record, edit, and publish your podcast. You can do it on your computer at anchor.fm. Anchor even has an app where you can do it on your phone. Super easy, super convenient, and a fun way to really get your voice out there and be heard. If you're interested, please visit anchor.fm or download the Anchor app. Thanks a lot, guys. Hey, everybody. This is Andrew Roberts and Matt Teifke, and this is episode one of the Young Wild Financially Free podcast.
Welcome to the Young Wild Financially Free podcast, an audio experience where we don't just talk about it, we live it.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of the podcast. Today, we kind of talk about who we are and why we want to start this podcast and the value that we're going to provide to you guys. So stick around. Hope you enjoy it. My name is Andrew Roberts, and this is Matthew Teifke.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the microphone like it's something that I need to talk to. We've been friends for years and years, since we were 7 years old, and now we work together in the real estate industry. Matt, tell us a little bit about the company that we work for.
Yeah, so we started Tree Homes 3 years ago, and we're basically property managers and looking for people that are interested in acquiring properties. So try to do things a little different, where we're not just trying to manage as many properties as we can. Rather, we'd like to align ourselves with people like ourselves that have the passion to grow their own portfolio. And that's one of the funnest things. So management's obviously a tough business, right? You're dealing with so many issues, so many calls. But when it's fun, it's really fun. And what you can do is align yourself with people that want to start slow and just start adding properties, so one at a time, and then all of a sudden 15 years down the line you own 20-30 properties, which can be a really big deal for your life, to free you up. And that's what we're trying to do,
right?
And you've obviously made one step, getting a little bit closer to closing on your first house.
Yeah. So I'll touch on that a little bit, like I said, Matt and I have grown up together here in Austin. We grew up in North Austin in Round Rock. Both went to Round Rock High School.
Go Dragons.
Yeah. In high school, I met my future wife at that time. Both went to Texas State and San Marcos. And that's kind of where I first got interested in real estate. Obviously, as a college student, I was renting a house with my buddies, and my dad told me that his mortgage on his house was less than what we were paying in rent for a 4-bedroom house. And so I thought, like, you know, that's so interesting. Like, this landlord is making money. For some reason, I didn't connect the dots before.
Yeah. That
he was making money off of us. And even if he had a mortgage and he was still paying on the house, he still had, you know, supplemental income from that difference between what we were paying in rent and what his mortgage was. And that was just passive income. He didn't do anything. He was the laziest landlord I've ever known in my entire life.
So was he self-managing?
He was self-managing, yeah.
Okay.
And it created not a great experience for the tenants, for me and my buddies. Just because of the lack of effort that he put into the house and stuff like that. Obviously, we were college students, and so I'm sure he viewed us as less than an optimal tenant. But at the same time, you know, that experience would have been better had the, I guess, the landlord put in a little bit more effort. But all that to say is that that's when, you know, real estate really, and investment properties and rental properties really, I guess, piqued my interest. And then I was not getting my degree in college for real estate. So I ventured down that a different path for a career in sports and sports management. And I found out that it wasn't what I was passionate about, what I liked. I did have some great experiences, but that led me to come back to Austin, and that's where we reconnected, me and Matt. And so he offered me a job to work for Tree Homes, the company, and that kind of just lit a fire under me and got me really interested in real estate again, kind of brought the idea back to the surface. And now, like Matt mentioned before, I'm currently closing on my first house.
Yeah, baby.
In Hutto, which is just east of Round Rock, so still in this Central Texas, Austin area. But we're first-time home buyers, my wife and I, and so we were able to get a USDA loan, which is zero down, so that really helps as being young professionals. We'll close on it and eventually turn it into a rental property.
A couple of things. I find it interesting, like a lot of people our age, like you said, will be renting properties and really not think about the real estate side. Just kind of go through it, and then it kind of hits people 3-4 years later. Wow, that's what was actually going on.
Right.
So do you remember, were you paying rent to this guy, check or online?
We would just write a check and put it under the front mat.
Really?
On the first. He would come by and grab it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
But he lived in Austin, but he would drive down to San Marcos to get it every single month.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, that right there is something that he probably shouldn't be doing that. Not necessarily that he needs a full-on property manager, but to drive from San Marcos
to
Austin just to pick up a check. Nowadays, like, you could even just do Venmo, right?
Yeah, and even back then, I mean, that was old school, you know, 4 years ago whenever we were in that situation. Like, there was PayPal was around, or, you know, we could have done, a transfer from bank accounts.
Yeah. Mailed him the check.
Mailed him the check, yeah, anything. His execution of this property was poor.
Interesting. Was when you had maintenance, was he the guy doing the maintenance?
Yes. Well, no. He would hire a crew, because the maintenance on this house was bigger issues than just like a clogged toilet or something like that. And for the little things, you know, he wasn't the nicest guy, so we would just do it ourselves. We'd fix it ourselves.
Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting. So let's walk through the process of buying your first house.
Yeah.
Kind of what that's looked like for you and how you feel about everything.
Yeah. So my biggest word of advice to anybody who wants to buy a home is that it's doable, but you need to keep every form of documentation that you've ever had for any job and anything really. We had to, contact our former employers from years ago and ask for W-2s, ask for 1099s, just any kind of documentation for our income. And we had to provide rental history. Even if, you know, my senior year of college, I was living with my mom, and so I had to put that address down and write an explanation of why I was living there, things like that. So they're very detailed when it comes to buying a house, because it is a big purchase. The home that we got is close to $200,000, and so that is a lot of money. And so the people who are the lender is taking it very seriously, and so they want to make sure that me as the purchaser is going to be reliable and be able to make my monthly payments on the mortgage. So the process, we reached out to a lender from a referral from you guys.
Yep.
And we kind of got the ball rolling there, because before you can put an offer in on a house, say you like a house, Before you put in an offer on it, you have to have a pre-approval letter mm-hmm. for the loan before anyone will take you seriously and before anything can happen. So we had to provide documentation to the lender kind of ahead of time. He was able to get us a pre-approval letter when we found the house that we were interested in mm-hmm. that we wanted to make an offer on. And the lender was great, very open with communication, very responsive. And so we were able to get the pre-approval letter pretty quick. So everything happened. You know, we went through looking for a house for, I want to say, 6-7 months. And then when we found one that we wanted, everything happened so fast. It was in one evening that we went back and forth with making offers and finally came to a price that the seller and we were comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that pre-approval letter. And then after that, once we settled on a price, we started to write up the contract. And then after that, we had to go through inspections of the house. We had to get the house appraised to make sure that it was as valuable as what we had offered for the price.
Mm-hmm.
And now we will do the official closing on the closing day.
Heck yeah. It's gonna be great. So I think one thing that's important for you that was a little bit different is that you were super flexible on the area. Because
mm-hmm.
you obviously wanted Georgetown first, right?
Correct.
And then we were looking at Hutto. But the point is, you kind of knew that this property was something that you were ideally going to keep forever.
Right.
Or for a long time.
Right.
And so it didn't necessarily have to be perfect right now for like everything that you want in a house.
Right.
Rather just a house that you could own.
Correct.
Right. And so knowing the Austin MSA, and if you can be close to 200,000 anywhere, it's probably a pretty good deal, assuming mm-hmm. that you do all your inspections and that, you know, the foundation, plumbing, roof's good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool because you're able to find that, and that's an easy rental. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
1-2 years, whenever you want to buy your next one,
right?
That thing will rent all day.
Right. And that's another thing that I did is when I was looking for a house, I was looking with the goal in mind of turning it into a rental
mm-hmm.
down the road. Obviously, when you get a loan, they ask you if it's going to be your primary residence or not, or if it's an investment. And so we will live in it for a year, so it'll be a primary residence, so we get a better interest rate, and the lender is, I guess, more willing to lend to us,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I had the goal in mind of it turning it into a rental, and so I looked up what rentals were going for in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming in at $1,500 mm-hmm. for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, which is which is the house that we bought. And that was higher than what our monthly mortgage is going to be.
Sweet.
And so I already knew from the get-go that this is going to be a good investment property.
Yep.
You know, we'll have some supplemental income with there being a difference between the mortgage and the rental rate that we'll be able to get.
And then it's a, do you know if it's a 25 or a 30 year mortgage?
So it's a 30 year mortgage.
Okay. Yep. So 30 years, that's paid off.
Right.
Plus the value is going up every year.
Exactly.
And then you're just getting that at that time, probably, you know, $3,000 check
right.
a month.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's hopefully one of many.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. 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 Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So, like you said, I wanted to touch on the financing part because that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, getting all your stuff together, is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, you pretty much have it packaged up.
Right.
Right? And so next time you try to get a loan, you're just putting all – or if you can put all that in one spot and
yeah,
just forward it to the lender.
Right, yeah. So that's what I did. So I know that, like, I'm going to buy another house down the road and – So, I mean, now I have it all in one file on a flash drive of, you know, all of our employment history, our rental history,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So all the documentation is in one place. So now
Sweet.
When it comes to getting another loan, it'll be a much faster process.
Yeah. Plus, if you use the same lender,
they'll already have my stuff on file.
Yeah. He knows you.
Right.
And it's easy.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, the underwriting process,
mm-hmm.
because basically the mortgage broker who we're working with, mm-hmm. packages it all up, and then sells it to the government, FHA, backed loan. Mm-hmm. And so usually there's these lists of conditions mm-hmm. during the underwriting that they come back. And I've had to write like personal letters explaining my situation. Did you have any conditions like that you had to work through?
Yes, yeah. So there were, like I said earlier, I had to explain why I lived at each particular address that I lived at, even if I was living with, you know,
all the
family.
Way back to
all the way back to 2014.
Okay.
So
wow.
See,
what's so interesting is, I wasn't taking out loans during 2007, mm-hmm. 2006. All the real estate market that was just going crazy.
Right.
But obviously, we've heard of these ninja loans, which was like no income, no credit, and they just give you a loan. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that we're dealing with now is all because of that.
Really?
It's become so much tougher to get a loan.
Yeah.
And, you know, 5 years ago, you would never have to go back 4 years and write these letters. But
right.
it's a good thing, you know, for the most part, because hopefully it will help us avoid being in that same environment where everyone's just pulling out money like crazy.
Right.
Especially in Austin, because right now people feel great about the market. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if people were able to get loans pretty easily, they probably would be just
yeah,
buying
sure.
properties because they think in 2 years, in 1 year, it's going to be worth more. So
right.
do as many as you can.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting to see how different environments can have, like, serious effects on what we're doing now.
Sure. Yeah. And it's interesting. Well, I mean, you say that, like, you know, it was so easy back in 2006, 2007 to get a loan. And I compared to today, I would say, yeah, it's easier. But it's not hard, difficult today, I would say, to get a loan. Like, I just had to write a letter,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And maybe that's one more step than what I would have been required to, you know, pre-2008.
That's true.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a letter with my signature and the date.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
I feel like, you know, that's if you want to use that as an excuse to not get a house for a first-time home buyer, then it's just an excuse. You
yeah.
know? It's a lot easier than what people make it out to be.
You're right.
Buying a house.
You're right. What the challenge is going to be once you try to buy your next one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still do it. You just have to be aware of like what a lender's looking for,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes you got to be creative and flexible. And I've learned, you know, the hard way. I've taken out multiple loans that are a little bit higher interest rate mm-hmm. because I couldn't get traditional financing.
Right.
And hopefully I can refinance those soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I did them, but they're definitely a little bit more risky. Like,
yeah.
you know, do you know what your interest rate is?
So my interest rate is higher because we did it a zero down.
Yep.
With the USDA. And so it's going to be 5.25. So
5.25 fixed for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's still great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rates are rising, but like I have some that are 6.9, 7.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're adjustable. So
right.
they're fixed for 5 years, mm-hmm. and then they can adjust every year,
right.
which they in 5 years most likely they'll be going up. And when rates are at 10, 11, if they get there, you're going to be sitting pretty on
right.
5.25.
Yeah. So, I mean, do I have the potential to refinance?
Yeah, for sure. So mostly though, you refinance when you can get the rate lower,
mm-hmm.
or when you have a lot of equity in the house because you want to pull some money out of it.
Right.
So do I think that rates are going to be lower than 5.25? Probably not. So most likely the reason for you to refinance is, say the property goes up in value 100 grand, you can get a new loan and pull out 60 grand,
uh-huh.
and use that money as a down payment on another house.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it is you start kind of rolling them,
yeah,
and they're all growing, and then you pull money out, and it can really grow exponentially pretty quickly.
Right. And then the eventual goal is to have multiple properties, you know, 5, 6. I mean, if you're interested, I mean, I'm currently interested in single family homes.
Yep.
But to have, you know, a handful of properties where I'm getting cash flow each month. So that, you know, the rent that I'm charging my tenants is higher than what I'm paying on the mortgage. And so that's just, you know, adding to the income. So, you know, if I, hopefully if I get enough properties, then that way I don't have to work. You know, that's my income. That's my job, is just owning the rental properties.
I think that is, that's the dream for me.
Me too.
So it's just, it's beautiful to think you could be, you grind it out, you put in the work now, right? Like this deal that you bought, it's not going to make you rich today.
Correct.
But in 15 years, if you continue to do this, all of a sudden, the first of every month, you're out doing whatever you want to be doing, and you're just getting those checks coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you just live off that income for the month until it comes in again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You obviously got to be careful, though, with expenses that can come up and different things like that.
Sure, yeah. I mean, well, and that's what, like, I mean, doing your due diligence beforehand. Like, when you buy a property, getting the inspections done, you know, making sure that it is a good investment instead of just buying a house all willy-nilly, so that, you know, you prevent disaster from happening, you know, down the road. So, you know, if you buy a good property, it doesn't have any issues. You know, you don't have a call in the middle of the night, or the landlord, or the property manager, or landlord, whoever, doesn't have a call in the middle of the night, you know, saying that, you know, the house is flooded, or a wall fell down because the foundation's cracked, or something, like, you know, something horrible like that. So you do your due diligence.
And it happens. We deal with it every day, right?
Yeah. Yep.
One thing that I've learned about this whole idea of acquiring properties, whether it be residential, multifamily, commercial, is that it's actually really simple, but it's not, it's a simple idea and a simple process to understand, but it's not easy. And what I mean is, you just have to, you have to make sacrifices, right? It's very simple to save $10,000-$15,000 a year and put it down as a down payment on a house.
Yeah.
And then, you know, buy one a year, but hopefully more than that.
Right.
But it's not easy. It's not easy to save $15,000, but to save it, you're either, you know, going out like a lot of people that we know, and there's nothing wrong with this, but spending $200-$300 a weekend and not having that money in 6 months, where if you skip that, you can have that money, but you just have to commit to it, and then you buy a property and you continuously do that.
People's spending habits really determine, you know, their whole life.
For sure.
I mean, it's like you said, if someone goes out on a weekend and spends, you know, a couple hundred dollars, when they could have still had fun and enjoyed life, but for a lower cost, and put that money away to invest, and not just to save. You don't save just to have money in a bank account.
Yes,
you know?
For sure.
We're saving in order to invest into the real estate, which is, you know, a very strong investment, so that our investments give us more money. You know, that's the, that's the goal, is that, you know, it's an investment, and it's not just a, like I said, not just a savings account.
Yeah, and you got to be balanced. Like, life's not all about just saving and, you know, retiring in 30 years, but you have that balance. And if you're, if you're not kind of thinking about the future, you're going to keep going to the bars, keep spending money.
Sure.
And then in 30 years, you're still working 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And you don't have that, that flexibility to do whatever you want. And that's kind of what we're looking for.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we have friends that, you know, would argue, why would I want to give up, you know, a fun time now?
Yeah.
Just to secure my future or something like that. You know, like, it doesn't, it doesn't make sense to them. But, you know, when they get down the road, and they're still living paycheck to paycheck, or something like that, or borrowing money from family, you know, they're going to look back and be like, man, I wish I hadn't gone to the bar that one night, or, you know. So just kind of being self-aware, I feel like,
is a huge deal. That's huge. And that's why also I say balance, though, is because you still want to have fun. There's, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going out to bars. We did that yesterday as a company.
Yeah.
But just having that balance and having a little bit of mix of everything.
Right.
Preparing for the future, having fun now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's like one of the, to tie that into Austin, like, that's one of, like, the things that I love about living here. Like, one, I guess I am biased because I grew up here, but I love Austin because there's so many things, activities you can do for an affordable price or free. You know, like, there's so many trails. There's so many areas of water that you can go to. You know, there's different activities that happen throughout the city at all times of year for free or for a low price. Like, there's currently, it's the summer, and there's Blues on the Green.
Heck yeah.
Which is a, you know, it's a music, I guess, series of live music in Zilker Park where it's free music. It's a free concert. You can go and lay on the lawn, get some food. You can bring a cooler and just listen to music for free. So that's
it's
one thing.
Great. Love it. I look forward to it every year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's like why I feel like Austin is one of the best places to live in the U.S. So
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
When I graduated from A&M, everyone that I went to school with went to Houston, Dallas, New York, California, and I just wanted to be in Austin.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. And so that kind of all brings us back around to, you know, this is why we're starting this podcast. And these are, you know, some of the topics that we want to touch on throughout this and dive into more detail on each individual topic. But, so we're starting this podcast because we love podcasts, and we enjoy, listening to obviously some of the bigger guys, like Gary Vee or Tim Ferriss. Or Bigger Pockets is a huge one for us in the real estate industry. But we just want to provide value.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fun for us. This is a fun activity for us to get together and talk. And, you know, we're two buddies that get together anyway, so might as well record it.
Yeah.
And we want to provide value to anyone and everyone who wants to listen. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Same kind of motivation. All those podcasts I love. Joe Rogan's a good one.
Yep.
There's so many different varieties and things you can get into. I've been listening to one called The Model Health Show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard that one. But,
I haven't.
You know, we're obviously always texting each other back and forth, sharing different podcasts, which is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I like about podcasts are is that you can – it's just a time saver.
Yeah.
Right? You can – you don't have to deal with commercials. You can listen to it whenever you want. You can – pause, play, and you can get almost any kind of knowledge you want about anything nowadays.
Right, yeah.
And so hopefully for us, we can provide a value for people that see what we're doing, want to do the same thing, or just maybe want to do it on a smaller scale, on a larger scale,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of walk through what we're doing step by step and help people do the same thing. And, you know, also I think it'd be, you know, really fun to get other people in the real estate business or any type of business come on and talk about what they got going on and
mm-hmm.
Kind of keep it local.
Yeah.
And talk about, you know, what we're seeing in the market and what's going on in Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's it for today's episode.
Right on.
Come back for more. Yeah.
First one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of our podcast. We really hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to continue making this podcast for a long, long time, and we really just want to provide you guys value and give you information on becoming financially free, and we want you guys to really just enjoy your life. We are on social media at treehomes.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, you name it, we're there. All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks.